David Campbell released his debut album around 10 years ago at the age of 23. Back then, music critics as far away as New York were describing David as the best young crooner on earth. If you've been listening to his new album, The Swing Sessions, all weekend like I was, you'd have to agree he's lost none of that ability over the past decade. He's playing a concert titled All That Jazz this Saturday evening at Horton Wines in the beautiful Swan Valley, and he joins me now on the phone. David, welcome to 98.5 Sunshine FM.
Good to be here, Rob. How are you?
Not too badly at all. Now, you got into this style of music, into swing and jazz, as you were growing up, and I guess you were listening to this sort of music. Was that a bit uncool? What were your friends listening to?
Well, we all listened to 80s radio too. We loved our 80s. I just love this stuff. You know, I loved singing it, and, my grandmother brought me up with this. She was smart. I mean, she made sure I had the radio on so I didn't get beaten up or anything when I went to school.
Is it great to return to the music that you love and that you started out performing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it feels like a real, coming full circle, I suppose, as a singer, and just being able to get back there and just get back to what I do really well. And I love doing this stuff. I love doing it live. I love performing it. I love recording it. It's, these songs just speak across generations.
I guess that's the thing, that you can get a bunch of people together and they might have all their different musical tastes, but as soon as you start playing some swing, you see toes tapping everywhere, and no matter how young or how old the person is, they get it.
They do get it. I mean, there just is something about it. It does cross boundaries. And like I keep saying to people, these were hit songs before I touched them. So, if they weren't a hit when I did it, then, I'm doing something wrong.
Even though you say they were hits before you touched them, songs like, for instance, Mac the Knife, there's been a handful of really good versions of that performed over the years, but there's been a lot of dogs, and you've been able to come up with one of those great versions of it. So
luckily I wasn't put out in the pound.
What does it take to take one of those songs, and I guess knowing that it's got that sort of a history, and to be able to say, I'm going to do a great version of this?
Well, I don't know if you set out to make great versions, you just set out to put your own stamp on it, what I try to do is nod to the greats, like the Sinatras, the Bobby Darins, the Sammy Davises, and then just put my own flavour on top of it. And that comes with life experience, that comes with just, how you are.
Of course, a number of years back, you weren't really known here in Australia, but you were certainly known overseas. What was it like coming back to Australia and finding that no one really knew who this David Campbell guy was?
It was kind of a bit refreshing, but also at the same time, it meant I really wanted to... I have real pride about being an Australian, and I wanted to do my stuff here and live here. And even though I'll never be grateful enough for what New York has given me, I love being an Australian, and I knew that when I was over there. So for me, it's all about wanting to be here and to perform here as an Aussie and then take that to the world. I didn't want it to be the other way around.
Well, talking of New York, how did an Aussie boy who hadn't really had much success here in Australia go over to New York and find success there?
It was actually through Michael Feinstein, the cabaret performer, where he saw me do a concert thing in Melbourne, and he got me a couple of dates somewhere. That was it. I mean, it's always not what you know, it's who you know sometimes in this industry, and that just happened to be the case. But, I mean, all Michael could do, it's like, I suppose, being the son of someone famous. It gets your foot in the door, but then you have to do the hard yard yourself.
Yeah, and I guess albums are not going to sell just because you're the son of someone famous or that someone else has noticed you and liked you.
Trust me, they don't.
When you came to selecting songs for this new album, what did you look for? What was it that helped you decide on the final set list that you have?
A lot of the songs are songs that I've done on the road in New York years ago, or songs that I've loved for a long, long time, or have wanted to do for a long, long time. Some of them, like I said before, are songs that my heroes sang or arrangements that my heroes did. Mr. Bojangles is one, Mac the Knife is another one that I think is pretty specific to that sort of thing. So, it's a wide net of criteria if you're looking for something.
What is it about the whole phrasing of swing? You get some people that just are not able to come together with it, but there's people like yourself who just start singing and the phrasing is all right and it just swings.
Yeah, look, I don't know what it is. I mean, it's you have to be really relaxed in the genre, You have to really sit back and hear the rhythms and go in and out of them, and it's... I don't know, there's just something incredible about it. If I could tell you what it is, I'd make $1 million, Rod.
Now, you obviously gathered quite a lot of fans when you brought out songs like Hope and had a big hit with that.
Yep.
The fans that really enjoyed that music, have they followed you along to listening to this one?
Yeah, I found that they have, which has surprised me. Hope was a really great time, and it was good to be able to have it like a success with that song. But it also made me see that, you know, the other singles didn't really work after that, and it sort of, Hope, while it was great, also let me see that what I should be doing is this stuff. So, but yeah, I have had a few people come over who like Hope but still like this stuff.
What was it that made you want to record stuff like Hope? After, you know, coming from this sort of a background, did you just decide you wanted to do something different, or did you feel that that was the only way that an Australian audience would accept the music that you're playing?
It was a personal thing that I needed to do. It was, you know, I'd done it for so long in the States, and not that it was a bad thing, but I also felt like that I really do feel like the greats, you need to have a bit of life experience under your belt when you do these songs. And I felt that I was starting to reach, a roof of what I could sing that didn't sound weird for a young whippersnapper to sing. You can't exactly just come out and sing when I was 17. It was a very good year, you know. You have to have some life experience. So I thought it was a good a time as any, on the back of Shout, to do Hope and try to do a rock pop thing and just see if it worked. It stretched me as a performer and as an entertainer, and B, you know, it was time for me to leave the swing thing alone for a while until I got a bit of life experience under my belt. I'm glad I did, because I've come back, you know, loving this stuff more and being better at it.
You're not all that old, but you've had a wealth of experience in doing everything from stage shows like Shout to doing the swing thing to doing the rock and, you know, television appearances and everything. You've had quite a career already, haven't you?
Yeah, I've crammed a lot in, but I mean, I think that when you do any career, I prefer to just keep consistently working than have a huge, huge star burnout, you know what I mean? I see a lot of these young kids coming up and you just think, wow, how are they going to sustain that?
Is there any music that's coming out at the moment that you're really into?
I'm really into Bloc Party, Snow Patrol. I like a lot of the Brit pop bands. You know, I'm a big Jeff Buckley fan, Radiohead fan. I love all sorts of music. You know, I just downloaded the new Jay-Z album. I mean, I like a lot of different genres, but I suppose what I like to do is take those sort of genres, because you've got to keep listening to what's pertinent today and have that. It gives you a slight modern attitude when you do the swing stuff.
When you came to recording this album, you obviously had to look around and get the best people behind you. How did you come up with the team that put it together?
Well, Charlie and I did Dancing with the Stars together, and we sort of worked off and on a bit in the past, just doing, like, you know, TV appearances and stuff, and so we'd always wanted to work together, and we never had the opportunity. So when this came up, I knew that he was the only guy to do the album with me in this country, because he just absolutely has the right knack of what to do. You know, he was brought up with this music. That's what he learned how to play. It was the right guy.
And what about the rest of the musicians on the album?
Well, they're all people that Chong sort of brought in. You know, they're guys from Dance with the Stars band or John Farnham's band, or people, like the guy who leads the brass section on the band is Miles Davis's trumpeter. He's also my trumpeter as well. So, you know, he comes around and he lives here now, and you know, so that you find there's a lot of great musicians here, and they all never get the opportunity to do swing stuff in this country. So they absolutely play their hearts out on this album, because they've always wanted to do an album like this.
Do you find that people say, well, swing, it's not really my thing, until it cranks up, and then they say, that's what swing is?
Yeah, I mean, I think that people have a strange misconception as to what it is, and you know, a lot of people think it's your mum and dad's music, but it's not. It's, you know, it's when your mum and dad were young, they were listening to it, you know, and because it's got real attitude, it's got real push and a real vibe. So look, I think you're talking to the converted here, but I'm trying to go around and convert the rest of the country bit by bit.
Well, you've got a concert coming up this Saturday evening at Horton Winery. I guess that's one that you're looking forward to, a lovely outdoor venue?
I am looking forward to it, and of course a lot of these tracks are going to be done with an orchestra for the first time and the only time around the nation. So I won't be having an orchestra this size. So pretty much it's going to be exciting for me and hopefully for the people who come along, because it's a one-off concert that will only be done in Perth.
Yeah, tell us about the orchestra that's playing with you on Saturday.
I'm not really sure. I know that Graham Lyle has put them together, and they're a youth orchestra, and I know it's going to be the first time a lot of these charts have been played by an orchestra since the recording. So I'm just going to close my eyes and wish for luck, but I'm sure we're all going to have a good time.
It promises to be a great evening, and it's certainly a great album. Let me congratulate you on it. I've certainly enjoyed listening to it, and will continue to do so. But thanks for your time today.
Thanks so much, Rod. I really appreciate the conversation.